My short message tonight, devotional, is the Lord's voice of authority. And it's in Matthew 7, please. I want you to turn to Matthew 7, verses 21 to 29. 28 to 29, sorry. Matthew 7, verses 28 to 29 says, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes." Amen? Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us to get something out of that little bit of scripture there. Thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit can speak to us, Lord, from your word. And we pray tonight, Lord, that as we look at this short portion of scripture and other scriptures tonight, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would speak to us, Lord. And we thank you that your word tells us that your word is alive. It's quick and it's alive, Lord, and it's able to speak to us. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would use your word to speak to us tonight, Lord, and encourage us and teach us, Lord, from it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our opening scripture tonight ends the Lord's teachings in chapter 5 through to 7 of the book of Matthew. That's the closing verses, all right? It's the teachings that we refer to as the Sermon on the Mount. Three chapters it goes for. The Bible tells us, and those scriptures we read tonight are the closing of it. It came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes and the Pharisees, you see, the religious people, all right? The Bible tells us about Jesus in Matthew 5:1 that after his testing by the devil, this is leading up to that, after his testing by the devil in the wilderness, that seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was settled down there, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them. He taught them. That's the Sermon on the Mount now. He's going to teach them. Reading on through to the end of chapter 7 of Matthew's Gospel, we see that it wasn't only his disciples who listened to Jesus as he presented spiritual truth through his teachings and illustrations, but the vast crowds of people also gathered to listen to him. And if you've got a Bible with the words of Jesus in red print, you will notice there's nothing written in black in the Sermon on the Mount. No interruption. Nobody interjected while Jesus taught for three chapters of the Bible. Usually Peter would say something, but it's not recorded there that he did. In verses 28 and 29 of Matthew 7, when Jesus had completed his teaching with the revelation that the house of false religion in Israel was one day going to come crashing down, he said, "That's built upon sand. It's going to fall," all right? And we read, "It came to pass," in verse 28, "it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes," as we mentioned before. The Bible tells us that the great crowd of people who gathered to listen to him teach were astonished at his doctrine. They were astonished. Remember, we're talking about Jews, eh? Jews have brought up scripture, the Old Testament Bible. They knew him off by heart, all right? But they were astonished. They'd only ever heard the scribes and the Pharisees teaching. Now they heard Jesus, and they were astonished. They hadn't heard biblical doctrine defined in such a manner as they were now hearing. This sacred system of morality, as taught by the Lord, appealed to their consciences. They had never experienced this while sitting under the teaching of the scribes and Pharisees. So this was something new. Here's a good preacher. Amen? And he's making sense. The people were simply amazed at the Lord's doctrine, never having heard the law defined in such a manner before, with a voice of such clarity and authority. The scribes and Pharisees, the traditional teachers of the law, had never impressed their consciences in this way. Time and again, the general public welcomed Jesus' commanding voice. They welcomed the Lord Jesus Christ. In Mark 12:37, we are advised, "The common people heard him gladly." Now, I'm going to quote scriptures here tonight, but I don't expect you to turn them, all right? Again, so Mark 37, they wanted to hear Jesus preach, all right? Mark 12:37, we advise, "The common people heard him gladly." They loved to hear him preaching, all right? Again, in Luke 19:48, we are told that when the scribes and Pharisees looked for some excuse to arrest him, they were afraid to do so because, in verse 48 of Luke chapter 9, it says, "All the people were very attentive to hear him." They all wanted to hear Jesus. And this scared the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who wanted to get him out of the road. They weren't game enough to touch him. The people people had an opinion about Jesus that they were scared about, alright? In the Gospel of John, chapter 7, it is recorded that the officers who had been sent by the chief priests and Pharisees, specifically to take Jesus into custody, when they returned empty-handed, they were scolded. Verses 45 to 47 of chapter 7 of John read, "Then came the officers who had been sent out to get Jesus, to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, Why have you not brought him? Where's this Jesus bloke we sent you out to go and get?" The officers answered, "Never man spake like this man. Never, we've never, this bloke's speaking truth out there. We've never heard this sort of preaching from you, mob." He said, "Then answered the Pharisees," they got indignant about this, "then answered the Pharisees and said, Are you also deceived? You've been listening to this bloke, now you're deceived by this false teacher." This Jesus character, see? "These officers had been sent out to apprehend the supposed false teacher. But when they were confronted by the truth of the Lord's teaching, they were willing even to disobey the instructions of the religious hierarchy. Upon their return without Jesus in their custody, the officers excused themselves to the scribes and Pharisees, saying that they'd never before heard the scriptures explained so clearly and truthfully." Not from the scribes and the Pharisees, all right? "The crowds of people who had..." What did Jesus say about the scribes and Pharisees? "All you do is you put burden on the people. That's all you do. You don't give them any way out of their problems. You just put more and more heap stuff on them with all your laws and all the stuff you go on." Anyhow, "The crowds of people who had listened to Jesus on the Mount were convinced of the truth of his teaching, and consequently they were keen to learn more from him. And in Matthew 8:1 we see that when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him." They followed him up the mountain, and they followed him down, right? So they followed him. It says there in Matthew 8:1, when he was come down from the mountain, after the Sermon on the Mount, great multitudes followed him. It should be no surprise that the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ would be received as so authoritative. After all, he's the living word of God, amen? As revealed in John 1:1-14. In verses 1-4 of John chapter 1, the scriptures claim that, what does it say? You can turn to this one, please. John chapter 1. Hey, any wonder the people were impressed with his preaching, eh? Why? He's the living word of God. John 1, chapter 1 and verses 1-14, we're not going to read all of that, but here it says verses 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Well, what's that mean? "The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him," this Word, whoever he is, "without him was not anything made that was made. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men." Now, in case anyone is mistaken about who is the one called the Word and who it refers to, we read in verse 14 of John 1, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the one and only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Hey, it's the same person we read of in 1 Timothy 3:16, where we're informed God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up to glory. Who's that? That's right. Only one person has ever been received up into glory and now sits at the right hand of his Father. That's the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour and our Lord. John 1 and verse 3 proclaims, "All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." Out of his dwelling place in eternity, the Lord's voice of authority spoke worlds into being. He spoke them into being. He said, verse 6 says, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made." By the word of the Lord were the heavens made. "And all the host of them by the breath of his mouth." That's what we're told in Psalm 33, verse 6. "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made." Whose word? The Lord Jesus Christ. Not God. It is God, but it didn't say God. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He made the heavens, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. That's in Psalm 33:6. That's the same thing that John 1:1 saying. Now, God, who at sundry time and in divers manners spake in the time past unto the fathers by the prophets, we read in Scripture, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Alright? Whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. That's where the book of Hebrews introduces the Lord Jesus Christ. Alright? The book of Hebrews introduces the Lord Jesus this way. God, who at sundry time and in divers manners spake in the time past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. There's about the fourth time we've seen in Scripture tonight that Jesus made the worlds and everything else, all right? And in verse 3, the Word of God continues the description with the following. In verse 3 of Hebrews chapter 1, it says in verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory, of God's glory, and the express image of his person, of God's image, right? The express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. By his word. Alright? All upheld by his word. The voice of Jesus is a voice of absolute authority. And this same voice continues to be heard by his faithful and devoted followers today. Where? In the Scriptures. We hear the voice of the Lord speaking to us today in the Scriptures. We just quoted verse 1 and 2 from the book of Hebrews, which claims, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days, we're in the last days today, this is the church age, right? Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. As we watch society disintegrating and profess churches everywhere descending into gross worldliness and apostasy, let's close with the encouraging words of promise from the Lord tonight in John 14, verses 1 to 3 and verse 27. So I want you to open to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. And as we read it, we know that he has the authority to declare these promises, and also knowing that we who have believed upon him to rescue us from the wrath to come, we also have the authority to believe them, what he tells us, because we're his kids. So, he's got the authority to tell us this, and we've got the authority to believe it. In John 14, verses 1 to 3 and verse 27 declares to us this. Let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Hey, is that a good promise? He's gone away and he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you and I'm going to come back and get you. Amen? In my Father's house, there are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. Alright? I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, that's his followers, the believers, the Christians, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, where Jesus is, there ye may be also. Now in verse 27 he says, we've got all this trouble happening in the world, eh? There's big problems coming. We haven't seen problems yet. We haven't seen things getting stirred up. But it's coming, alright? So Jesus says to us, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. He doesn't give us the world's peace. You know, they have peace treaties and all this sort of thing. They kill millions of people, and then about 20 years later, they start killing each other again. That's not the sort of peace that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Amen? So we're not to be afraid when all this stuff comes upon us. Just trust the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your encouragement to us tonight, Lord, and the promise that we have from your word, Lord, that we can trust you, Lord. You've told us all these things, and you tell us to believe us, to have faith in you, Lord, and look to what you'll do in our lives, Lord, and what you'll do in the situations in the world, Lord, and pray our hearts not to be troubled, Lord, but to trust in you, Lord, as we as we progress through this evil time, Lord, at the end of the age and so much troubles, Lord, you will look after us. You promise that, Lord, and we believe it. In Jesus' name, amen.